Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And Phil Vitel, who is the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune and has been a regular guest on this show for a long time, has announced that he, too, will be departing from said newspaper. Hi, Phil. Welcome back. How are you, my friend?
Hi, John. I'm good.
So what's the deal? Friday's your last column?
Friday is my last day, yeah. I think I'll have a column in there that day. I'm still typing away, so I have one or two more deadlines to meet.
Why are you leaving the Tribune?
Well, as people know, the company has from time to time offered buyouts, giving people a certain number of weeks of salary in exchange for hitting the silk. And I have resisted those for quite a few times. And this time, you know, time and circumstance and family and all the rest of it just made it one that I just had to take. So, time to say goodbye.
Was it an offer you can't refuse? By that I mean, is it a good offer, Phil? Is this a?
It's the same offer to everybody. So, I mean, it probably the offer was actually more generous in previous offers.
Is it typical, like a week for a year, something like that?
Close to that, you know, and there's a cap, which works to my just been there for 40 years, yeah. 41 years. So the cap isn't my friend.
So we're going to miss you, man. I guess I'm not sure what you and I are going to do then with this spot.
I know. I'm thinking of.
Is it me, Phil? Is that why you decided to retire from the Tribune?
Yeah.
How do I get out of that thing with Williams?
It was the constant grind of 20 minutes once a week on your show. I just couldn't. Every Wednesday morning, I'd be, oh my God, is it Wednesday again?
You know, I talked to Blair Kamen, who's also leaving the Tribune with a similar offer, I guess, and I asked him
exactly
about
the
that.
Same offer.
Well, but I said to Blair, who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist, and there you are, the journalist of record for food in Chicago for decades.
Thank you.
And I said, I think it must weigh on you guys more than it does us. I sit here and blab away for a few hours a day, and then the next day we do it again and again and again, and there's nothing permanent about it. And yet when you guys write a story, it has to be spell-checked, and it has to be factually correct. And you can't come back a few minutes later and go, oh, I meant this. No, it's printed, and it's in print, and it's online, and it's permanent. And I think that must weigh on you differently than it does us.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in the early days of my career, what we used to say about newspapers is that we write on sand. You know, that the tide comes in the next day and tomorrow's paper is something different, and your previous columns or stories, whatever, go into some Raiders of the Lost Ark type archive, never to be seen again. But then the internet, as it has disrupted every other element of the newspaper industry, change that around. Now anybody with a computer can pull up something I wrote about a restaurant 15 years ago, and there it is. So to an extent, we've had much more of a sense of, yeah, we're writing a permanent history here, and we really, really, really want to get it right.
Because the internet, go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, because they can come back. It'll come back.
But the internet, I presume, has also in the last 10 years made your job easier, right? If you were wondering something about some place, you can just click, click, click and find it rather than going through paper archives, right?
Oh, right. It's a researcher's dream. In the old days, we actually had dedicated employees who would do that searching for us because, one, it was so time-consuming, and, two, required so much specialized knowledge as to all the different places you could look for it. Back information. And so, yes, those jobs are absolutely invaluable. And then as things contracted, so did those jobs. And we've all had to learn how to be sort of good researchers on our own.
Imagine that. Phil Vitale, restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune's last column, will be Friday. He's taken the buyout. And the real problem with that is that he's now going to have to start paying for his own food.
Yeah, that part is terrifying.
I mean, say goodbye to Rick Bayless, my friend. Those days are over.
Those days are not over. I will make that happen. I can eat an awful lot of tuna fish during sandwiches in Monday through Wednesday, if I can, or Thursday or Sunday through Thursday, if it gets me into Topolobampo once in a while.
So, what will you miss most about the job then?
I'll miss the feedback. I'll miss the excitement of knowing that it's time to do a certain story and getting that. I mean, it kind of churns you up inside. Deadlines do, and the pressure to get things right. And I don't know how I'm going to feel exactly when all of that goes away. I expect to have at least a week or two of blissful mornings when I roll over and see it's 9:30 and say, I think I'll stay in bed another half an hour or whatever. And that'll be fun for a while. And then I think I'll start getting itchy and have a strong desire to do something. And with any luck, I'll think of something.
What'll that be? What do you think you're going to do?
I don't know. Hopefully the phone will ring and someone will have a good idea for me. But we'll see. On the other hand, as you know, I'm a grandpa now, have been for a year, and so I have more things to do with family than I was able to do before.
Would you want to open a restaurant? Would you want to get into the game?
No. But one of the things I've gleaned from 31 years of covering the restaurant business is how hard those people work. And there is very little room for the 65-year-old entry-level restaurateur.
Not rich. Restaurateur. But yeah. Are you like this, though? Because I think my wife cooks terrific food. And mm-hmm. and frankly, I think our friends do, too. She probably doesn't like to hear this on the radio, but I've often thought, if we just had a restaurant and served the stuff we eat at our house, people would love it. It's really mm-hmm. good. Even our tuna casserole is awesome, and the other stuff is great, too. I'll bet Brenda could open a restaurant. I'll bet a lot of people think that, and then they get into the game and go, oh, wait, people don't like our tuna casserole, or whatever.
Right. You know? Or you have to get the tuna casserole exactly right, and then figure out a way to train other people to do it exactly your way at least 18 times a day, every day, for the next 6 months before, at which point you're so sick of it, you never want to see it again, and you try to take it off the menu, and your customers scream because that's their favorite dish. And so you're going to be making that damn tuna casserole for the rest of your life. And I'll say this, every restaurant you've got, even the mediocre, even the kind of crummy restaurants, they all have one or two dishes that they do extremely well. And you find that no matter where you go, if you know where to look, almost any restaurant can be somewhat satisfying because there's a couple of stuff that, boy, that's a really good dish there. And that's what gets them into the business, and the difference between those guys and the superstars is that they're able to do, the superstars can do everything well, and they can come up with creative new dishes, and they can be constantly inventing and reinventing, and it's an extraordinarily, I assume, because I can't do it at all.
Wait, stop right there. I want you to answer this question then. What's the best meal you've had? What's the worst experience you've had in a restaurant in Chicago, lo these many years you've been doing that? Answer that after this, Phil. Phil Vitale, restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune.
I'm so glad we had this time together, just to have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it, comes the time we have to say so long.
Our good friend Phil Vitale, the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune, is taking the buyout. He's marching off into that restaurant sunset, as the featured restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. His last column will be on Friday. He's been a regular fixture on my shows on Wednesdays as we talk food. Ella, if you'll hit the button, and I'll hit mine, and we're going to miss you, Phil Vitale. Lots of nice text messages coming in about you right now.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised, to be honest with you. So what's the best meal you've had? What's the worst restaurant experience you've had in Chicago?
The worst one, and I can say this because the restaurant is long, long gone. There was at 500 North LaSalle Street a restaurant that was known as Michael Jordan's Restaurant. And had no connection whatsoever to the Michael Jordan's restaurant on Michigan Avenue today, and no connection whatsoever with the Michael Jordan Steakhouse in Oak Brook. Different owners, different everything. But at the time, there was the first Michael Jordan's restaurant, and it was a total tourist trap. And I was there for dinner, and one of us, there were two of us having dinner, and one of us ordered the scallops, I think probably me. And a minute, just a few seconds before the dish arrived, all of a sudden, I smelled something, really, just the aroma of spoiled fish or spoiled seafood. And here's this guy walking to me, and I'm saying, oh, please, don't let this be my scallops. And he put this thing down in front of me, and I said, you're kidding, right? This is I can tell it's spoiled right now, right now. And he was, you want something else? Do you have anything that's not spoiled? I don't know. What else can I get?
Yeah, something from the non-spoiled part of the menu.
Please. Right, you know, but because it had Michael Jordan's name on it, it was pretty much review proof. In fact, I think first or second graph of my review, I said, I don't like Michael Jordan's restaurant, and I don't think it matters.
right, because they're from out of town, or they're, hey, right. Michael Jordan, boom.
Right, and then, you know, then it all came tumbling down, actually, for other reasons than the restaurant quality itself, but that was terrible.
It's funny, because I think Ditka's and Harry Carey's did a nice job. I thought
they did an excellent job. Harry Carey's has been a solid performer from the very first day it opened. It had smart restaurant people behind it, still does.
Yep.
And it just works.
What's the best restaurant experience you've had in Chicago?
Wow, I've had so many. That is a really tough one, but I think I will point to my first dinner at a restaurant called Trio, which was up in Evanston, and the chef team at the time was Rick Tramonto and Gail Gand, and the level of food and the creativity, it was all very, 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 very modern. You know, they were one of the first restaurants in Chicago to get creative just with the actual dishes and the serveware, the things they brought things out on. And it was astonishing. And I say that with all due deference to all the tremendous meals I've had at Charlie Trotter's way back in the day, and at Alinea and Le Francais and Everest. I mean, they're all outstanding in their own right. But since you put me on the spot, and I've had 3 seconds to think about it, I'm going to go with Trio.
Well, I figured maybe that'd be part of your column. I don't know what you're going to say Friday. You don't have to devote it all to me and our conversations here.
Oh, all right. I'm going to have to rewrite that then. Okay. Well,
what in general are you putting on paper today?
Just talking about some of the greats that I've been privileged to observe and to chronicle, and some hopefully funny, one or two funny anecdotes, and just a goodbye. I don't want to linger over this. This is not going to be a 1,200 word read. I'm going to keep it short and hopefully sweet.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sad for a number of reasons, but I'm happy for you because you deserve a break. I know you love that grandkid, and I know that you've been anxious about going to restaurants since March, and that's what just makes me sad, is that I hate to see you go out under these circumstances. I would rather have had a year of fun, Phil Vitale, insightful, sometimes funny reviews. Remember, you used to come on and you'd talk about the food, and then I'd ask you what the hell that was, and then we'd kind of go through the cocktail menu and what your experience was like, and we haven't done that for a while. And
no,
I'm sorry for you that this is how you're going out.
Right. I've actually written one review since March, and so, yeah, it's I envisioned some gorgeous sunset, you know, as I surveyed the entire Chicago dining scene, and would say to some with some satisfaction, yes, my work here is done.
Yeah,
you know, but it's ludicrous because there's always more work. Well, there's always something new. There's always something exciting, especially in a town like this. If I had been doing this job in another city, yeah, maybe it wouldn't be. But I've made peace with the fact that there was always some new place that I would want to stick around for. And then I'd never leave, and I know that's not possible.
Let me just read a few quick texts to you. 847, we will miss you, Phil. 312 says, I hope Phil will write a book about the evolution of restaurants over the last 40 years. I would definitely buy that. And 224 said, Phil should host dinner parties at popular restaurants and speak about the menus and to the chefs as people enjoy dining over the food once they covered it. I would pay for that, says 224.
All right.
How about a book? How about hosting dinner parties for...
Well, I could start on the book, I suppose, but the dinner parties will have to wait till indoor dining is permitted, but maybe come the summertime.
All right, Phil. I'll bet that, like Blair Kamen and Howard Reich and the rest of y'all... every now and then we're going to pick up a magazine or some feature piece in the Tribune, and there will be your byline. I don't suppose you've written your last word in Chicago, right?
No. If nothing else, I'll probably scrawling them on pieces of paper, wrapping them in bricks, and throwing them through people's windows. But I will continue writing them one way or another.
Well, I think that's going to happen, though. You're going to be at a restaurant, or maybe you'll be ordering out. But anyway, you're going to have... A really burning thought about something you're eating, and you're going to miss the opportunity to tell a lot of people about it. I guess you could, go on Facebook, but the Tribune's a pretty big platform, and I'll bet you're going to miss that too, Phil.
Absolutely. I'll miss it. What the heck about it? No, I'll miss it. And I probably don't quite yet know how much I'm going to miss it. I guess I'll find that out.
Well, I'll write a love note to you, put it on a brick, and throw it through your window. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Do the north windows. They're due for replacement. Anyway.
I'll be in touch on and off the air, but thanks for saying hi. Thanks for doing what you've been doing for Chicago all these years.
Okay.
Thanks for entertaining us on WGN, too, my friend.
Thank you.